Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Will the clerk please take the roll?
33 members present.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Schultz is excused from the call of the House today. Representatives Sabussa, Liska, Hayes, Barnes, Malone, Cowdery, Furness, Ward, Euling, Pestinger, Winty, and Kopanen are excused to plain time. All the representatives noted are on the floor with the exceptions of Representative Winty and Kopanen.
Representative Miller?
Yeah. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to ask unanimous consent that Representative Davis be excused from the call today.
Is there objection? Hearing none, Representative Davis is excused as requested. Will the members please rise for the invocation by Pastor Milton S. Hunt, Resurrection Lutheran Church.
Let us pray. Almighty and most gracious God, we first give you thanks for the safety of the people of Juneau last Friday evening when an industrial accident threatened the safety of thousands of people. We remember the long, dark hours when many professional and volunteer firemen worked together with policemen and other professionals and volunteers to contain the fuel spill and escort residents to safety. We thank you for the generous hearts of hundreds of Juneau residents who opened their homes to the temporary refugees. On this first business day of a new legislative week, help us to center down and concentrate on today's calendar and this day's task. Continue to give wisdom to all the members of both this and the other legislative body. Move them forward with all deliberate speed that they may accomplish the goal of being one of the more efficient and one of the shorter sessions in our Alaskan history. At the same time, help them be effective to provide justice and liberty throughout our great land. We pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us by the birds and the lilies of the field to be confident of your daily gifts and not become anxious for the morrow. Help us to trust you daily. Amen.
Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the clerk please certify the journal for the 46th, 47th, 48th, and 49th legislative days and House Supplement number 96.
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 46th, 47th, 48th, and 49th days and House Supplement number 96.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 46th, 47th, 48th, 49th legislative days and journal supplement number 96 be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Are the guests for introduction? Representative Martin.
Yes, Mr. Speaker and members of the chamber, I take great pride in introducing to you today the University of Alaska Anchorage basketball team, which is here to play Rock Mountain this evening at Juneau Douglas High School. I'd like to introduce the individuals, the head coach, Mr. Harry Larrabee. And our assistant coach, Mr. Danny Fox. And our chief president of the Booster Club, Mr. Steve Nerlin. We have 11 players. I wish they'd stand as we introduce them one at a time. Mr. Jeff Martin. Is Jeff here? That's my brother. He left. Okay. Mr. Bob Lafferty. And Pete Adams. Chris Bullock. Kevin Smith. Matt Johnson, Ron Beach, Tyrone Jones, Hansi Gannat, and Luke Delafio. Oh, by the way, Mr. Speaker, if I may, there isn't a special reception at the Cape Fox at 5 o'clock for the legislators. And the team will be teaching this afternoon clinics for junior and senior high school players. But understand that legislators that need to get their basketball skills up to date are invited to the clinics, too.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm sure happy to hear that they are here to play a college game tonight. I thought maybe our governor had did a little recruiting for this year's legislative game with the administration. Mr. Speaker, I would like to introduce two constituents, Representative Locker and myself, that we have with us today. One is the chairman of the board of the Valley Hospital Planning Commission, and the other is the president. And in Gallery A, we have Mary Combs and Jim Reese. If we give them a welcome. Jim must have disappeared. I see.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to introduce three young people without whom I would be almost completely ineffective and whose loyalty, enthusiasm, and intelligence I depend upon greatly. My legislative assistant, David Shady, and my aides, Jan Harmon and Sharon Peake.
Representative Cato.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce a constituent of mine in Gallery A with the close-up program of the teachers, Donald Mai.
Representative Herman.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to introduce from the Pribilof Islands, they're attending the close-up program, Dave Sheffield, the teacher. And two students, Marva Stepperton and Cindy Baldwin.
Further guests for introduction? Representative Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have here a note on my desk that says I have two students there from the Lake and Peninsula School District, and I hope that they are in the galleries here. If they would stand, please, and we can welcome them. Joe Klein and Richard Takak.
Representative Winty.
Mr. Speaker, I have a very important constituent of mine with me this week. In Gallery B, my son, Kyle.
Messages from the governor.
Dear Representative Hayes, I have signed the following, and I'm transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 55 Finance relating to collective bargaining and providing for an effective date, Chapter 10, SLA 1984. Signed sincerely, Bill Sheffield, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate approved the following citations, honoring the Handicapped Awareness Week and in memoriam Carl Armstrong, and they have been sent to enrolling. The Senate approved the citation in memoriam Paul C. Hoisington by Senator Moss, and it is transmitted for consideration. The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 312, Judiciary by the Judiciary Committee, an act creating the Office of Public Advocacy and providing for an effective date.
The Judiciary Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 312 is referred to the State Affairs, Judiciary, and Finance Committees.
A sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 350 amended by Ferguson, Fahrenkamp, Bennett, and Fakes, an act creating the Alaska United States Olympic Trust Fund and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance Committees.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr.
Speaker. Other communications? Representative Gall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could we return for a moment to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we'll return to introduction of guests. Representative Gall.
Thank you very much, sir. Today we have from Craig with us some students. And a teacher. The students are Sarah Ewing and Kevin Campbell, and the teacher is Doug Rhodes. And also with us, with the close-up program from Skagway, are Jerry Myers and accompanying him are students Christine Sivertson, excuse me, and Chris Kirk.
Representative Fritz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to present to the body constituents of Representative Malone and me, David Hayes from Ninilchik and Clara Knowles from Seldovi.
Clerk, have other communications?
Yes, we have received the Fire Suppression Fund use records for calendar year 1983. Copies of these records are being distributed to all legislators. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Labor and Commerce has had House Concurrent Resolution 52 relating to the poor economic condition of Alaska coastal communities under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cowdery, Chairman, concurred in by Ringstead, Pestinger, Furness, Kopen, and Euling, Cowdery, and Wente. House Concurrent Resolution number 52 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 148, Preservation of Agricultural Land, under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 148, Finance, with a new title, and reports it back without recommendation and a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, signing do pass, Zharoff. Signing no recommendation, Adams, Lindauer, Duncan, Furness, and Martin, and Grusendorf. House Bill 148 has no further referral. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 486, authorizing fees for the use of state park facilities, under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 486, Resources, with a new title, and reports it back without recommendation and a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Ringstead, co-chairman, signing do pass, Schultz, Ringstead, and Euling. Signing no recommendation, Larson, Bussell, Gall, Liska, and Cowdery. House Bill 486 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 568, making a special appropriation to the Department of Public Safety Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault for a public awareness program, under consideration, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Ward, Chairman, concurring Ward, Locker, M.M. Miller, Cowdery, Larson, and Schultz. House Bill 568 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 586, Benefits for Elected Officials under the Public Employees Retirement System, under consideration, and recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. Report was signed by Mr. Ward, Vice Chairman, signing do pass, Ward, M.M. Miller, and Larson. Having no recommendation, Locker and Cowdery. House Bill 586 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 648, Definition of Capital Projects under the Executive Budget Act, under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 648, Finance, with a new title. Recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Adams, Grusendorf, Martin, Zharoff, Duncan, and Hurlburt. House Bill 648 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 687, a Task Force on Fire Prevention and Control, under consideration. Recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Adams, Martin, Furness, Lindauer, Grusendorf, Zharoff, and Duncan. House Bill 687 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 688, making a special appropriation to the Office of the Governor to fund the Task Force on Fire Prevention and Control, under consideration, recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Adams, Martin, Furness, Lindauer, Grusendorf, Zharoff, and Duncan. House Bill 688 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
The Conference Committee, with limited powers of free conference, considering CS for Senate Bill 257, Judiciary amended, and House CS for CS for Senate Bill 257, Judiciary amended, House Standards of Conduct for Legislators with an effective date, recommends that Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill 257 pass. The report was signed by the Senate members, Fakes Chairman, V. Fisher, and Josephson, by the House members, Bettesworth Chairman, Furness, and Clarkson. I have no further special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
There should be a copy of the Conference Committee report on each member's desk. If you take the opportunity to look that over, we will deal with that either tomorrow or Wednesday. Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation Honoring Lions and Lioness Clubs by Representatives Ward and Hayes. I have no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of bills.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 617 by Kopanen. An act making a supplemental appropriation to the Alaska State Council on the Arts and providing for an effective date.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 617 is referred to the Health, Education, and Social Services and Finance Committees.
I have no further bills for introduction.
This brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar, Representative Clarkson? The House, please stand at ease. Representative Martin?
Mr. Speaker, may we return to revert to order to introduce introduction of guests?
Without objection, we'll revert to introduction of guests. Representative Martin?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to introduce to you and the assembled body one of the two outstanding players for the UAA basketball team for the past 2 years, Mr. Jeff Martin.
Representative Ringstad?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under introduction of guests, I've been asked to introduce a couple of constituents for Representative Schultz in his absence. In Gallery A, with the close-up program, we have Richard Peterson. And a couple of students, Veronica Nichols and Sam Holman.
Further guests for introduction? Clerk, please read the first item on today's calendar.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill number 503 by Euling, Furness, Ringstead, Barnes, Gall, Clarkson, and Lindauer. The Committee on State Affairs has had the bill under consideration and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 503, State Affairs, with the same title, recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Abood, Chairman, concurred in by Abood, M.M. Miller, Larson, and Cowdery. The Committee on Finance has had the bill under consideration and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 503, State Affairs, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Bettesworth, Adams, Martin, Lindauer, Grusendorf, Duncan, Jaroff, Hurlburt, and Fritz. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the State Affairs Committee substitute response substitute for House Bill 503 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the State Affairs Committee substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Does the clerk have amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number one by Mr. Euling. It has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Euling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? There is objection, Representative Euling.
Yes, this is briefly a technical amendment that actually puts an immediate effective date on the bill and changes the title back changes the title of the bill back to its original title after it was inadvertently changed in legal affairs. So essentially, it would read an act relating to income allowances, debts of, and rates charged to residents of the Pioneer Home and providing for an effective date. It is only a technical amendment.
Representative Martin?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My concern here is the technical amendment of immediate effective date. I was wondering if the department had enough money in their current appropriations to absorb this cost, which goes up to $100 a month, or would it be much more logical to allow the normal July 1st effective date? It seems to me immediately upon the governor's signatures may cost that department monies that they have not been allocated for.
Representative Euling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The fiscal note on the bill is $133,000. It's my understanding that they are going to have enough money in their budget to carry them on this.
Is the objection maintained to the adoption of amendment number one? Is your objection? Hearing no objection, amendment number one is adopted. Does the clerk have further amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number two by Representative Clarkson. Page 2, line 3, after section, insert, the department may not change the rate charged more than once in a fiscal year.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
There is objection. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, if you'll look at the amendment in context,
There is language here that requires early on in the page 1, line 24 and 25, that the Commissioner of Administration shall review the rate each year. There is no specific reference to the possibility of rates increasing more often than once a year. For those of you that recall what happened in the interim last year, rates were increased after the budget was approved by this body and we adjourned. I would be concerned, and others have expressed concern, if there is a decision by the Department of Administration in the middle of the fiscal year to increase the rates more than once. Doesn't seem to me that that's very, very fair. The burden on the residents of Pioneer Homes is considerable, and if that burden is increased twice during a fiscal year before we have a shot at looking at it, I don't think that would be fair. So the amendment simply says that if they're going to increase the rates, that they should increase them only once each year, and then the residents of those homes can be assured that for at least a year, they're not going to have any further increases.
Representative Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't have an objection to this particular amendment. In the original committee substitute that's before you, we have put a provision in there for the 60-day notice required before they can make any changes, and then also 30 days so that the people at the Pioneer Home would be informed of any kind of rate increase. This would just put a little bit more teeth into it and wouldn't allow them to raise that rate for a year period.
Representative Lindauer.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker. I think that we should support this amendment. I hope that the members of the majority coalition will seriously consider this amendment. I spent some time over at the Pioneer Home, and people there, elderly people, tend to be very anxious when they have forthcoming changes and uncertainty. And anything we can do to minimize that anxiety is a very desirable thing. Thank you.
Representative Abboud, do you maintain your objection to the adoption of Amendment Number 2? Is there further objection? Hearing none, Amendment Number 2 is adopted. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Can we take a brief at ease?
Will the House please stand at ease? Read the next amendment.
Amendment Number 3 by Representative Clarkson. And this one also has been numbered and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, Amendment Number 3 is adopted. Will the clerk please read Amendment Number 4?
Amendment Number 4 by Representative Clarkson, and this one has also been placed on each member's desk.
Representative Clarkson.
I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, Amendment Number 4 is adopted. Clerk, have further amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr.
Representative Abboud, do you wish the floor? Representative Abboud, did you wish the floor, or were you just adjusting your seat? Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 503, State Affairs, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 503, State Affairs, amended by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to the Alaska Pioneers Homes. An act relating to income allowances, debts of, and rates charged to residents of the Alaska Pioneers Home, and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the State Affairs Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 503, amended House, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
38 yeas, no nays.
State Affairs Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 503 amended has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on passage committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 503, State Affairs amended House, be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection?
Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill 556 by Ward, Lindauer, and Malone. An act relating to complaints alleging retaliation before the State Commission for Human Rights and providing for an effective date. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 556 under consideration and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Abood, Chairman, concurred in by Abood, Ward, Locker, M.M. Miller, Cowdery, and Larson. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 556 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Bill 556 by Ward, Lindauer, and Malone. An act relating to complaints alleging retaliation before the State Commission for Human Rights and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I support the bill, but earlier the sponsor described the legislation and the need for the legislation, and I understand all that. Based on that, I'm a little surprised that there's a zero fiscal note. If I understand the situation to be its workload and that they put these cases in the normal process and it takes months for them to get to them, and I'm wondering if I can ask the prime sponsor why we don't propose a fiscal note here to give them the staff to be able to process the complaints quickly.
Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The reason is we contacted the Human Rights Commission, and the executive director said that there would be no note. It would just be readjusting the priorities of the commission, and they would be able to do it internally without any additional costs.
Is there further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 556 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
38 yeas, no nays.
House Bill 556 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on passage of House Bill 556 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 57, State Affairs, by the State Affairs Committee. An act limiting the adjustment of retirement benefits and providing for an effective date. The Committee on State Affairs has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 57, State Affairs, under consideration and reports it back without recommendation and a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Abood, Chairman, signing due pass, Furness. Having no recommendation, Abood, Larson, Cowdery, Schultz, and M.M. Miller. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for Senate Bill 57, State Affairs, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 57, State Affairs, by the State Affairs Committee. An act limiting the adjustment of retirement benefits and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do have major problems with one on this particular bill here. Number one, I'm surprised there is no fiscal note on this bill because there's obviously money involved. And maybe the people who have supported this legislation can give us some idea of what's really the problem. If the state has been paying out too much money to retired people, then somehow ever we're losing money, not necessarily justifiably so. The major problem with this bill is that it seems like we're establishing a new trend. We see in Social Security, we see in other retirement programs, we see in Medicaid payments and coupon payments, there's many people abusing the systems. And eventually the state or the federal government or someone catches up to them and finds out why they were overpaid, why they were getting too much in coupons or Medicaid services and what they were doing with the checks and stuff like that. And I really believe here that if a person receives a check that they're concerned about, they know if it's a little higher than what they expected. They know if it's a lot higher than what they expected. It's just a matter of a phone call, toll-free, to call the retiring agency. and say, hey, look, would you check on this paycheck? We feel it's too much. But we've known other agencies that have found people who were abusing the system for a year, for 2 years, for 5 years, and they catch up to them. Once we say that you cannot go back past 2 years if you've been overpaid or if you're receiving money in the name of someone else, you know, we're putting a limit on what the state can do. And I really feel that this bill here is opening the gate, that once you do it on one system where overpaid checks may be going in, then other people, other lawyers, other individuals are going to use that as an excuse by saying, well, I didn't know. We suspected, but we really didn't know. We didn't have reason to believe that we were getting overpaid, and we always thought the government was perfect, and therefore we accepted the abnormally large checks. I think that we're setting a very bad precedent, and maybe the sponsors of this bill will give us examples as to what we're talking about and how much money is at stake.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Although I'm not a sponsor of this bill, I do recall the discussion in State Affairs when this came about. It appears that there are some instances where a number of years down the road, a person may be advised by the state of Alaska that they owe monies to the state because of overpayment. I think the key section of this bill, if I may refer to the bill here, page 1, lines 12, states here that the incorrect benefit was paid 2 years or more before the member or beneficiary was notified of the area. The last one here is probably more important. Number 3, the member did not have reasonable ground to believe that the amount of the benefit was in error. Mr. Speaker, the burden of proof is on the state of Alaska to calculate any payments to a person under the program, and if the state indeed does miscalculate that, and the member receiving those funds did not provide false information or have reasonable grounds to believe that they were being overpaid, then they should not be assessed that additional overpayment in line with the provision of this particular bill. It appears here that this is indeed a means of equity. A person should not be penalized for a mistake of the state of Alaska, and that's what this bill seeks to address.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, just in regards to the fiscal note, I don't know if you can assign a fiscal note to this because there's no way to calculate how often the state is going to make a mistake in computing retirement benefits. So it's really impossible to calculate what the fiscal note would be. But, Mr. Speaker, we do know that, although you can't calculate it, we know that it happens with extreme infrequency. For instance, I personally am only aware of a couple of cases in the last 14 years that I have been in this legislature. There probably may have been more than that, probably were, but for instance, it's only come to my attention a couple of times. And that being the case, when you consider the hundreds of millions of dollars that we're talking about in the retirement system's funds, you're talking about a percentage that's so minuscule it almost defies calculation. So it's a very small amount. On the other hand, if you happen to be the one or two persons that this sort of thing does happen to, it's absolutely devastating. I mean, it wipes out everything that you'd planned on. You call up the retirement system and say, how much am I going to have for retirement income? And they say, you're going to have X number of dollars. And then for 4 or 5 years, you get X number of dollars. And then all of a sudden, you get a letter that says, oops, we're sorry. We told you wrong. You're only going to get, you know, a much smaller amount. Well, even though it happens infrequently and in the large scheme of things, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans, for that one person, it totally devastates their life. And so I think this is good legislation, Mr. Speaker, and I support it wholeheartedly.
Representative Lindar?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to speak in favor of this legislation also. And the reason I've risen is I'd like to call everybody's attention to something that I just opened in the mail. It's to all Anchorage area legislators and municipality. Had to do with the longevity bonus public hearing, and I think it's directly related. What this facts and figures that they have in the enclosure show us is that a lot of people who are retired have very low incomes. It sounds like a lot of money when you're first retired and you get a large percentage of your last few checks and so forth, but as time passes, as year after year after year passes, and inflation begins to bite into this, people's incomes begin to decline, and I did not realize how much they had declined until I opened this testimony or evidence that was presented to the Anchorage delegation from the municipality of Anchorage regarding the people and the longevity bonus. It looks to me, just eyeballing this, that a great number of the people, it seems as though the average monthly income of some of these people is about $500 a month. When they retired 20 years ago or 30 years ago on state pension plans, they may well have thought they were going to get a whole lot of money, and that may have been a whole lot of money when they retired, but time passes and prices rise, and this could be a tremendous burden for people who are not in any capacity to handle a burden like that. Thank you.
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm bothered a little bit about some of the debate that's been going on the floor in regards to this bill. I was in favor of it, but I get the feeling here that the intent of the legislation is to say to the state, you make your mistakes, you can't pass it on to somebody else for them to pay for, and I think that's a doggone good idea. But then another speaker said, gee whiz, you know, don't punish the recipient, and do something with the department or the state who is responsible for these mistakes. Well, in that instance, Mr. Speaker, I asked the question of the sponsors of this legislation if, in fact, we're really getting to the root of the problem here. In total, yes, I do believe that if someone makes a mistake and 5 years down the pike tells you about it, you shouldn't have to pay through the nose. On the other hand, if it is, in fact, an instrument or a document that is supposed to say to the state, hey, don't make any more mistakes over 2 years or catch up with your mistakes in 2 years, then we don't say that in this piece of legislation. We don't say to the state, you ought to get your act together and you ought to be able to keep your accounting current. And if you make errors, yes, we all are human and you can make errors, but don't make them and then decide later on about 5 years down the pike that you have made them and expect somebody else to pay. This legislation does not address that issue. It tries to protect the recipient of the retirement fund, but not the people who are making the mistakes. And by virtue of that, I do have problems with the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to get a little bit of history of this piece of legislation. I know it's been introduced through the Rules Committee by Legislative Council. I'm just wondering if the members, the House members of Legislative Council, can give us a history of why this bill has been introduced. The minority leader has pointed out that there are very few cases in which people are in this particular situation, but it lends, in my mind, this bill was introduced for a reason, and it has to be a pretty big reason. So I'd like to know who made the request. Was it Division of Retirement? Was it constituents or whatever?
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, Friday, another member of this body asked for, you know, an answer to a particular question. I'm making the same request.
Representative Furness.
Mr. Speaker, may I advise the body, this bill was under consideration in State Affairs, as I recall, in the early portion of the first half of this session. And unfortunately, as a result of that, I doubt if anyone has the information readily at hand. I just happen to recall it because we did do quite a bit of work on it. I believe there may have been a teleconference and some other action on it, and that's why the information is not here right now. I guess if you want to stand at ease, we could probably get that. But,
Representative Fuller,
I'll try to dig back in my memory. I know that the Blue Ribbon Commission on Personnel had several hearings on this. Because of specific cases, just like the minority leader was referring to, a couple cases that were a real hardship on an elderly person that was faced the state making a mistake, and I feel the state people that are working in retirement are paid very well for their expertise, and I think that they should get their act together rather than one or two people have to suffer with this. But there had been a lot of, originally, this was initiated in the Blue Ribbon Commission.
Is there further debate? Representative Abood.
Mr. Speaker, I wonder if you'd be kind enough to ask the chief clerk to read the committee recommendations, please.
Will the clerk please reread
the committee recommendation for the State Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 57.
The Committee on State Affairs has had the bill under consideration and reports it back without recommendation. The report was signed by Mr. Abood, Chairman, signing DuPass, Furness, having no recommendation, Abood, Larson, Cowdery, Schultz, and M.M. Miller.
Representative Abood?
Just one thing more. The date, please.
May 13, 1983.
Are you ready for the question?
Question.
Question is, shall the State Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 57 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
33 yeas, 4 nays.
State Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 57 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on passage of committee substitute for Senate Bill 57, State Affairs, be considered the roll call vote on effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 213, CNRA, by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act relating to certain property tax assessments and appeals and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had the bill under consideration and reports it back without recommendation. The report was signed by Ms. Locker, Chairman, signing DuPass, Locker, having no recommendation, Phillips, Clarkson, Zemanski, and Fritz, signing Do Not Pass, McBride. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute Senate Bill 213, Community and Regional Affairs, be considered engrossed, advance third reading, place on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time? Representative McBride.
May we have a brief at ease, please?
Will the House please stand at ease?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 213, CNRA, by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act relating to certain property tax assessments and appeals and providing for an effective date.
During the at ease, there was an amendment placed on the clerk's desk by Representative McBride, who unfortunately is not in the chambers. However, it'll require a motion by Representative McBride to move back to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment. Representative Miller, you want to make the motion?
Speaker, I'll make that motion. I do move that we return to second reading for purposes of a specific amendment.
There is objection. Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number one by Mr. McBride. Page one, line 28. After commissioner, delete, after consulting with the Alaska Association of Assessing Officers.
There is a motion before us to return to third reading for the purpose of a specific amendment. Amendment has been read, and there was objection to the motion. Representative McBride, you have the floor.
Yes, I moved the amendment, and it was objected to.
Representative Miller, the minority leader, moved that we return to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment. That was objected to, and then we read the amendment, and we can debate the amendment if you would care to.
Okay. All I'm saying here is I think this is a good bill, but the commissioner specifies that he has to consult with the Alaska Association of Assessing Officers. I would assume he would do that in getting his information, because these are people who are experts. But to just spell out one place that he has to go, rather than possibly the Attorney General's office or any place else, and sometimes these situations require him to go to legal people in the Department of Natural Resources and other places like that. So it was just my thought that after consulting with the Alaska Association of Assessing Officers, which are the only people he was asked to go to, was not necessarily so. I would assume he would do that anyway.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I feel that these are probably the most expert people to give the commissioner good advice and interpretation and so forth. But I see nothing in there that would restrict the commissioner to go to the legal department or to the natural resources commissioner or anybody else. I don't think that restricts them.
So further, Representative Locker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a little problem with an amendment that I don't have on my desk on a bill that has already passed the other body. Is it possible to get that printed up?
Why don't the members look at line 28 and 29 on page 1. And if between the word commissioner and after, if you'll put a bracket on line 28. And then on 29, between the word officers and shall, if you'll put a bracket, that is a deleted language. In other words, we're deleting the language on lines 28 and 29 that says, after consulting with the Alaska Association of Assessing Officers. If that would suffice, would save us a lot of time. Okay? Representative Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't see any problem in the original way the bill is written. As the representative from Nome had mentioned, the commissioner consult with anybody, the Department of Law or any other agency, and I think this would just, there's no real teeth in it the way it's written as it is, and whether you take it out or put it in, it really doesn't make any difference. Seems like just leaving consulting with the Alaska Association of Assessing Officers would be the way to go. They, as the representative from Nome had mentioned, are the people that are the most expertise on this subject, and leave it at that.
Representative Miller?
Well, Mr. Speaker, I think I agree with the representative from Ketchikan. In the first place, although it is done on an occasional basis, and on an occasional basis it's all right, the legislature should be, and usually is, very leery of putting non-governmental entities into its legislation. Unless there's a specifically really good reason, we should not be putting in specific organizations that actually have no connection with state government, other than the fact that the people who belong to it perhaps got their salaries indirectly through state appropriations. But so unless there's a good idea, we shouldn't be mentioning a specific organization. Even more important, Mr. Speaker, it's not really very clear what this after consulting means. Does that mean that the organization should have to convene itself and discuss this and send a resolution indicating its opinion on the matter to the commissioner? Or does that mean he can just simply call up the president of the association for that year and say, look, we've got this situation that's developed over here in this town. What do you think about it? And they, and the president scratches his head and says, well, it sounds okay to me. And, is that a consultation? I think if we're going to leave the consultation in there, we ought to be a little bit more specific. Having said that, I agree with one point that everybody's made, and that's the reason I think it should come out. Whether it's in there or not, the commissioner can consult with these people plus a number of other people, and probably should in each case. But I don't think we ought to be tying his hands. For instance, if the appropriate people were out of town or something like that, that might jeopardize the 60-day limit on the thing, just simply because at the appropriate time the commissioner couldn't get hold of the association officers. So I think there's nothing to be gained by having it in here, and there's at least some gray and shaky areas that indicates it might better be served by being taken out. I support the amendment.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I oppose the amendment. I think that it is proper that the commissioner should consult with someone who understands the assessment of the property, and I believe that the language that is in this bill is proper language.
Representative Drusendorf.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. On this particular amendment here, I think we all realize that the commissioner is the one that has to make the ultimate decision as to the assessment. But at the same time, the commissioner would be contacting, I'm sure, maybe DNR, perhaps even talking to the attorney general, which was in the scope of the administration. But I think that by leaving the language as it is, we have the commissioner here then being able to consult, inform, develop some type of standardization or understanding as to the assessment. And when we say consult here, we don't necessarily mean that they're going to be making the decision for the commissioner, just the commissioner is going to be in consultation with him as he presents his recommendations. He then may or may not go with these recommendations back to DNR, back to the Department of Law, but he has to make the decision, Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
Representative Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I agree with the amendment, but one thing I like to do when I'm looking at these is to determine where this, whether this language was in the original bill or not. My packet doesn't have, in fact, none of the original bills are in my packet today, and I'm wondering if someone can explain to me why that is. All that's here is a committee substitute, and was this a change that was made in the committee substitute, or was this in the original bill that he should do this consulting? It appears that we have incomplete packets before us today.
I'll ask the House to stand at ease while we have an opportunity to determine that, Representative Duncan. House, please. Representative McBride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask the members of the body if there was a dispute and the Public Safety Commissioner, would you expect him to get his information from the Peace Officers Association? That's saying the same thing. The second point is remember, all of the assessors work for municipalities. And can you imagine that that an assessor who would be affected would have to make a decision against the municipality? So all I'm saying is to leave them, those folks, out of it. Well, and I think the commissioner should consult with those people, but to make that information public, and we do that when we say that he has to consult with them, so I'm sure that they'd have some written information that would be public. And you're asking the people who work for the municipality to possibly make a decision against the municipality, and I just don't think that would happen.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think if the municipality is in error, certainly that's the whole guts of this bill, is to help the municipality correct that error. They've got their a one-year sunset. They don't have to pay the correction until they've had a year to get their ducks together. And I think certainly if he's a good assessor and he's made a mistake, he's going to go along with the state on that. I think if there's a legal error there, I think it's got to be corrected.
Representative McBride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, but there are also people who contract with municipalities, assessors who contract with municipalities to make these appraisals. And if you'll recall, just a year ago, there was a lot of argument about how this was accomplished in one of our southeast or south central cities. And this people, other assessors may not have agreed, but certainly some of them would have tried to have defended that decision. And So all I'm saying is that, yes, I think he should talk to them. He certainly should, because they do understand the taxing structure, but I don't think we ought to specify that particularly, because they're put in a position to have to defend themselves publicly, and they have to defend the municipality. And there's people around this state in the case that I mentioned that felt that the particular appraiser was defending what was done so he could have a job next year. He was a contract appraiser.
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I oppose the amendment, and I'll tell you why. The Alaska Association of Assessing Officers, although they know their business and they're certainly there to protect their own municipal, if you will, interests, should be consulted for this reason. Let's just say that the commissioner makes or tries to make a decision on an issue that is a sole source interest, in other words, one municipality or one area. and he's about to lay the gavel down and make this decision, having no reasonable input on the ramifications of that decision, it very well could have very far-reaching effect to other areas of the state that he is not aware of. And the fact that if he is not required to consult with the entire body that represents all the interests of the state may have some difficulty later on down the pike in reestablishing that same precedent that will usually carry. It's kind of like an attorney general's opinion or a court decision that generally is looked to later on in similar circumstances under similar conditions that has an effect on a decision 2 or 3 or 4 years from now or even longer. And for that reason, I think that caution, which I think is addressed here, caution is displayed saying the commissioner should consult, the commissioner should ask, find out some other ramifications that may not be there in front of him or in the surface that he may not be aware of. And for that reason, Mr. Speaker, I think it's very important that this, the decisions that he may make not be made lightly. Thank you.
Representative Baska.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. After listening to the discussion, Mr. Speaker, I think I agree with the amendment, because if the Alaska Assessors Association purports to represent all assessors in the state, then that would be fine. There would be some agreement. But I don't think they all belong to this special interest association. And for that reason, I support the amendment.
Ready for the question? President Goff?
Could we stand at ease for a moment?
Will the House please stand at ease? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
The question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 1? Representative Phillips?
Just a question here. I thought we were going from third to second reading.
Thank you, Representative Phillips. Let me restate the question. Question is, shall the Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 213 be returned from third to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment, Amendment Number 1. It takes 21 votes. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? The clerk may take the roll.
14 yeas, 21 nays.
The motion to return from third to second reading has failed. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall the Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 213 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
36 yeas, no nays.
The Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 213 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent to the roll call vote on passage to committee substitute for Senate Bill 213. Community and Regional Affairs be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 354 Rules, an act relating to the regulation of private schools, be held in third reading for tomorrow's calendar.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation Honoring Gamble Students by Senator Ferguson and Representative Fuller.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move the citation.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. Representative Fuller.
May I spring butt for a moment?
You have the floor, Representative Fuller.
It's sort of gratifying to me after the few years I've been down here and all the heat I take on my REAs that I just had to stand up and point out the, well, I'm going to read it. I think it, we have a lot of negative publicity on the Bering Straits REAs, but I know myself that there is some very good teaching procedures going on and some good education. But I'd just like to read this. In the opinion of the evaluators at the national office, the submission by the Gamble team was rated as one of the best ever received in the history of future problem-solving program. What high praise for four Gamble students. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Fuller. This brings us to the end of today's calendar. I'd like to point out in your calendar packet that the bills that are included in your packet for any particular bill are only those bills that are accessible to the House for action. That has been the policy of the Rules Committee, Sergeant of Arms, as far as putting the package together. So, for instance, if there is a Senate bill on the floor, the Senate bills that may have existed in the other body prior to that would not be included in the packet, because the only one that was available to us would be the one that came over from the other body. So that if that is leaving a question in your mind, that's the rationale. Is there Representative Malone?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we have a brief at ease, please?
The House, please stand at ease.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that we waive the five-day notice for the Special Committee on State Loans on HB 627, an act relating to the Forest Products Business Loan Guarantee Program, and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. I'd like to add an additional committee assignment to House Bill 486, an act authorizing fees of the use of state parks. I'd like to add a labor and commerce referral so that the bill will now go to labor and commerce and then to finance. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, there will be a House Democratic Caucus on a motion to recess.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in recess to the call of the chair.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands in recess to the call of the chair. Under unfinished business? Further unfinished business to come before the body? Announcement of committee meetings? Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Hess Committee will meet at 1:15 this afternoon, provided we adjourn by that time. In room 112, and on the just a minute, I'm trying to find my schedule. On the calendar today is a 504, which is an act related to student scholarship loans, and 296, I believe. Just hold on just a second. 492, excuse me, which is state aid for school construction.
Representative Szymanski.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. At this time, I'd like to bring up a reconsideration for House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 348, Finance.
Will the clerk please read the bill?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 348, Finance by the Finance Committee. An act making a supplemental appropriation for the operation of the legislature and providing for an effective date.
So, debate. Are you ready for the question?
question is, shall the House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 348 Finance pass the House on reconsideration? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
26 yeas, 7 nays.
House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 348 Finance has passed the House on reconsideration. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the effective date clause.
Are you ready for the question?
Question.
Question is, shall the House adopt the effective date clause for the House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 348 Finance? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Szymanski?
I don't know. I heard a representative from behind me give me some instructions. I'm not too sure what they were. Maybe we could void the roll at this time and could clarify it if we can stand at ease.
Will the clerk please void the roll call?
Is that something you want?
Will the House please stand at ease? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
Question is, shall the House adopt the effective date clause for the House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 348 Finance? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
33 yeas, no nays.
The effective date clause has been adopted. Are there further announcements of committee meetings or other announcements? Representative Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On Wednesday, I had given notice of reconsideration on House Resolution Number 12, and it was held over until today. I would like to bring that House resolution before us at this time.
Will the clerk please read House Resolution Number 12?
House Resolution Number 12 by Pestinger and Szymanski, relating to a legislative hall for the
legislature. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I call the House.
There is a call on the House. Representative Zaroff, did you still wish the floor?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had originally planned maybe to make some motions there that would take us back to second reading and possibility some considerations some of the individuals may have had over the weekend in regards to bringing Dracula back before us again. This, I guess, understand was the grandstanding and the title given to this particular piece of action before the body. And I certainly don't perceive our state to represent Transylvania in any way. I think it has much more brighter future than what members of the body deem. Mr. Speaker, I think that the intent of the resolution simplified says that the in the final sense of the resolution itself is that we don't want to have a structure like this built anywhere in the state unless we have some sort of direction from the legislature, and I contend that this is probably a good policy to follow, particularly when we're looking at an expenditure of this amount. And to single out any one community or two communities in the state by saying that the facility such as this should not be built in that area, I don't think is correct. I think it's more correct to say, Mr. Speaker, that we don't want something like this constructed unless we have the intent at least for an expenditure like this of the legislature. I do not intend, Mr. Speaker, to introduce a motion to return to second reading. I think that people have had the weekend to think about it, and it's here before us at this time.
Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Inasmuch it may take a little more time to kill Dracula than we'd anticipated, I wonder what the schedule would be in that my committee meeting and other committee meetings start at 1:15. Should we cancel those, in your opinion, or should we just delay them?
In my opinion, Representative Abood, you should not cancel your committee meeting. Since the call has not yet been satisfied, without objection, we'll move on down. We'll continue to take announcement of committee meetings so we can get through today. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I missed unfinished business there. I should have risen to ask. I move that Representative Flood be excused from the call Wednesday noon through Friday.
Is there objection? Hearing none, Representative Flood is excused as requested. Are there further announcement of committee meetings? Representative Cowdery.
Yes, the House Labor and Commerce Committee will meet tomorrow morning at 8:15 in room 209 of the Barron's Building. And on the calendar is House Bill 633. It's an act relating to insurance fees and licensing.
Further announcements? Special orders? Representative Martin.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to ask if I may have permission to talk about mass confusion over reapportionment.
You have the floor, Representative Martin.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Speaker, over the past week, since the governor has sent out his proposed reapportionment plan to the court, there's been mass confusion as to what candidates or what the citizens of Alaska should file for. Now, I've had some calls and also received in the mail today a notice to withdraw candidacy and then refile for the new plan, which again gives more confusion to the citizens under which plan that candidates who wish to serve the public should file under. I've talked to knowledgeable people over the weekend, and I think the best advice I've received was people should file for both plans, because it's not just the filing for candidacy that they have problems with, it's also with your APOC reports. If you draw funds or if you raise monies as a candidate, you should be under a legitimate plan. According to some, the only legitimate plan is the one of 1981, the one that we are currently serving under. They said that the court ordered this new reapportionment, and only the courts can certify the proposed reapportionment plan. Therefore, if people refile again, as the Division of Election is telling them to do, and the court throws that plan out, where do they lie? Can they then go back again and refile on the 1981 reapportionment plan? What about those who feel that they have a chance in winning a seat under the proposed plans, and then they're satisfied with the legislators they have who are currently serving under the old plan, and they won't file against them? So then what do they do with the monies they raised under this proposed new plan if it's thrown out of court? You see, so it's really mass confusion. Now, for the Attorney General says that this is the plan, it seems to be a little contradiction there. I understand this weekend, and if not today, that Judge Souter has decided to withdraw from the case, and the plan goes to him. Well, if he's withdrawing from the case, it's up to him to make a decision, but he says he has a conflict of interest, then that means that the plan has not been approved yet. It has not been certified yet. And with the Division of Elections sending out communications for everyone to withdraw, where do they stand? I think, sir, to try to help end this confusion, I talked to someone about the possibility of asking for a temporary injunction. And they said, yes, that's a logical way that in many cases before government implements a particular new bill or implements some new action by legislators or by the governors, that a temporary period is asked for so that we can look at it and then formal appeals made. But in this case here, one lawyer said that's going to cost you like mad, and you're not sure if the injunction is worthwhile because nothing's been implemented in the first place. The court hasn't spoken on it. And so I'm wondering, you know, where do we stand? And the people are wondering, and legislators are wondering. And I'm sure the Division of Election is wondering with the confusion of notes that they've been sending to people as to are they candidates or are they not candidates. Mr. Speaker, I think it's incumbent upon this House, and I don't want to put a burden on your shoulders that's unnecessary, but because of the mass confusion, I was wondering if you would take it under advisement to look into the situation and perhaps on behalf of the citizens of Alaska to ask the court for a decision as to what plan is pertinent for candidates to file under. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Representative Martin. I've been notified by the Sergeant of Arms that the call has been satisfied. Are you ready for the question?
Question.
The question is, shall House Resolution 12 pass the House on reconsideration? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
28 yeas, 10 nays.
House Resolution 12 has passed the House on reconsideration. Are there further special orders? Representative Kulpinen?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The representative from Anchorage, may I speak on the question of the proof is in the pudding?
You have the floor, Representative Kulpinen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The previous speaker, representative from Anchorage, has been taking each Monday to rag around the reapportionment plan, which has been presented to the courts in response to the court's ruling that the previous apportionment, which resulted in the election of this House, was illegal and unconstitutional, and the court therefore required the governor to come up with a new one. I presume that the speaker from Anchorage wishes to defend the existing apportionment, which, Mr. Speaker, you know, resulted in the election of 21 members of one party and 19 of another, where the actual popular vote for House would have been just the opposite if the districts had not been crafted so carefully. Speaking of proof is in the pudding, I looked at the actual voting results in the districts and attempted to find out what the roughly the quota was. The vote for different members of the House range from just over 2,000 votes to over 10,000 votes, which is quite a variation. Of course, the member of the House here who received over 10,000 votes does serve a two-member constituency. And to a certain extent, there is a parallel between the population figures and between the voting results. But if we go by the voting results and attempt to draw what would be a majority, we would find that in the 2nd, 6th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, and 22nd through the 27th election district, the vote was less than would be considered a proper apportionment of the popular vote, and that some districts, for example, the 4th district received enough participation in the election almost to be entitled to three members of this House, over 15,700 votes cast, whereas it goes down. Some of the Anchorage districts, two-member districts, for example, one of the received 8,700 votes for a two-member district as against 15,700 for two-member district in southeastern Alaska. I hold, Mr. Speaker, that this illustrates that there was a certain degree of, shall we say, craftsmanship applied to the old apportionment, and that is one reason that it failed. I do not think that we can ever come up with a new one. The old apportionment, which has been struck down, was crafted in such a manner that in our area, for example, almost every precinct line, every neighborhood line, every fire district, every municipal boundary was crossed in assembling the districts, even though the balance, the voting balance seems to be much closer in the interior than it is in South Central. I understand the complaint in South Central was also that every neighborhood council line was crossed in the design of the old districting. I understand that the new districting attempts to take into account such things as precinct, neighborhood council lines, municipal boundary lines. I think that until we perhaps all have to run at large, we will never be satisfied with the crafting of any individual apportionment. But I think that the courts have before them at this point a reasonable plan, one that I'm not wholly satisfied with, even for my own district, but nevertheless, one that we have to work with. And it is up to the courts to make the decision. I do not think it behooves this House to rag the courts or the governor around until the courts have ruled as to the plan that is before them at this time. If it is not accepted, I think the governor is enjoined then to draw up a new one, because I think the existing plan under which we all were elected is also unacceptable in a legal sense and has so been ruled.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Tuesday, February 28, 1980.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Yeah.